So the reading today is from Acts chapter 9, verses 10 to 19, which can be found in page 1102 in the Blue Bibles. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm going to hold it, I think. So we're continuing our series on how we share. And today we're going to be looking a bit more on exactly how we do that. So we've been talking about being witnesses and what that means. And we're going to look at it today in terms of how it meant to Ananias and how it can mean to us. So let's pray before we start. Father, I thank you that you're here with us. I thank you that you love us. Lord, I just pray today that as I speak, you'll give me the right words. And that we'll all be open to what it is that you're wanting to say. Amen. So I thought it might be helpful to put a little bit of context around this passage. So Ananias has been called, but just before that, in Acts, we hear a little bit more about Saul. And sometimes I might call him Paul. So it is the same person, but he changes his name later on in Acts, which is quite confusing, so bear with me. So Saul is well known in Jerusalem as a very prominent Jew who does not like Christians at all. In fact, he's on a real mission against the Christian church. He's been going around, he's been arresting people, throwing them in prison or worse. He was actually there when Stephen was stoned. And it's not enough for him to wipe Christians out of Jerusalem. He wants to take this mission to Damascus. And he's gone to the high priest in Jerusalem. He's got a letter and he's on his way to Damascus with this letter to give him permission to round up the Christians there. And on the way, he experiences God. He has a bright light. He sees a massively bright light and he hears the words, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he's like, I can imagine what he must have felt like at that stage. And he's left blind. He's left blind by the experience. And his people he's with take him into Damascus by God's instruction to a particular house. And he's there. And he's been waiting there for the last 3 days. And then Ananias gets a message from God to say, I need you to go and see Saul. Unsurprisingly, perhaps, Ananias is a little bit out of his comfort zone with this one. And he says to God, "Are you sure? Have you heard about this guy? He's actually not a very nice person." And God says, "I've prepared the way. He knows you're coming. Have faith," effectively. And I don't know about you, but I can kind of imagine a little bit what Saul, what Ananias might have felt like at that stage, being called out of their comfort zone. It's not a great place to be sometimes, is it? In fact, I'll be honest with you, I feel completely out of my comfort zone right now. I have never given a talk before like this. and I've had my fair few wobbles over the last few days. But when God asks you to do something, you get this weird thing going on, don't you, sometimes, where you get this kind of heart thumping matched with a kind of urgency to do something. And you've got a choice at the end of the day. God's not going to make you do anything that you don't want to do. But you have got a choice on how you want to respond to it. And Ananias, he was obedient and he went. And the question for us, I think, in terms of how we share our stories is, are we going to be obedient when God calls us? And sometimes that call might feel heart-thumpingly. And other times it might not. It might be like, yay, let's go. We want to do this. And sometimes God's call might be a really direct instruction, like it was for Ananias. I want you to go to this house on this street and pray for this person and prophesy in this way. And other times, it might be a kind of stirring in us. You know, we feel compassion for somebody. Or we just get a prompt, somebody in our mind, you know, maybe we should ring them. Maybe we should text them. Have you ever been the recipient of one of those timely texts? I have. There was a timely text just then for the recording. So that's the first thing that I felt God was saying about this passage, about how we share. It's about obedience and being listening to the stirrings and listening to those moments. And then I started to think, I like to think, why Ananias? I mean, you could have asked someone at the house that Paul, Saul, was staying in to pray for him. Why Ananias? What was it about Ananias? So I'm kind of puzzling this over. And I'm thinking, oh, well, I don't really know very much about Ananias. And then I realised that there are footnotes in the Bible. And if you check them out, it gives you some really good clues. And it took me to Acts 22. Simon, could you pop that up for us? Oh, the other one. I'm giving away my big announcements later on. I keep going back the other way. That's it. Okay, so I like this. I like the fact that this story has been told twice. We're talking about sharing a story, and here's Paul now, years later, maybe months later, sharing the story with other people about what happened where Ananias came to speak to him. And here we are. He says, a man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see him. And then he said, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be witnesses to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name. So that's how Paul remembers it and how he's telling the story. And I'm thinking, okay, there's some clues here. I like a good clue. So first of all, Ananias was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. Is that important? Well, I think actually it probably really was to Saul. He himself probably would have described himself in that way. A devout observer of the law and highly respected by the Jews. He could relate to him. And he probably had a natural respect for him. He maybe even knew him before he set out. The other thing about Ananias was he understood about grace. He knew the Jewish law, but he also knew what Jesus had done for him. Saul must have been feeling so vulnerable at that point. Everything that he thought was important in his life about pursuing the Jewish cause, I'd been blown away by that one moment when Jesus, the living God, said, why are you persecuting me? I mean, that must have been pretty scary. And on top of that, he's not eaten for 3 days and he's blind. He must be feeling so vulnerable. But he doesn't really understand about grace just yet because he hasn't really had Jesus revealed to him properly. But here comes Ananias. And what does he do? He stands beside him and he calls him brother. He accepts him and he loves him. Even though he doesn't know him, he knows of him. But he calls him brother. He shows such compassion. In fact, Ananias, I found out, actually means grace. There you go. Little fact for you. The other thing I think about Ananias is that he's really no nonsense in his approach, isn't he? He's come in and he's gone, what are you waiting for? Come on, up you get, let's get baptised. Now, I don't know about you, but in those situations, my natural inclination might have been a bit more touchy-feely and a bit more like, oh, you okay? How are you feeling now? I probably wouldn't have been miscommanding and authoritative at that particular moment. I don't know, maybe I would have been. But that was Ananias' way. And again, I think that's why God chose Ananias. Because Ananias was Ananias. That's who he was. That's how he'd been made to be. So God was calling him out of his comfort zone by asking him to go and do this. But he wasn't asking him to do anything that he wasn't equipped for, that he wasn't able to do. And that's my second point. Which is that I think when we share our story, one of the most important things we can be is ourselves and be authentic in how we do it. So if you want to flash onto that one, yeah, there we go. And someone gave me this quote the other day. It was at a conference I went to. God can't bless the you that you pretend to be. And that really resonated with me. Because I think sometimes we think, oh, okay, we have an assumption about the sort of person that does those sorts of things. Or we compare ourselves to other people who are doing these things and think, oh, well, we're not as good as that, or we can't do this. But actually, God really wants to bless us. We know that because we know God and we know who he is. They don't, but necessarily the people we're talking to, or maybe they do. But actually, God can't bless us doing what we do unless we're going to be real about how we do it. And that was what Ananias did. He was real about it. He was himself. And I don't know about you, but have you ever felt that sometimes it's just a bit too much of a coincidence that the person you happen to be sitting next to is going through this thing and you've been through something similar? Or they say something and you just get it because it relates to something that's happened in your life. And I think God often uses us like that. He doesn't waste our experiences. He doesn't waste our, you know, how he's made us to be. He knows who we are. He made us that way. And he wants to use that. And he wants us to let us use that and be real about the battles we've faced and make ourselves vulnerable and say, I've struggled with that too. And sometimes some of the most powerful moments have been the ones where I haven't even intended something sometimes, and I've seen God work through it. And if we skip to the Ephesians verse, Ephesians 2:10, in case anybody wants any proof about what I'm saying, it says here, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God knew he was going to ask Ananias to do this. And he made Ananias Ananias because that was the job for him. And I think he does that with us as well. He makes us us. We go through the things that we go through. And then God uses them if we let him. If we let him. And I think we are all prepared and we are all equipped for those opportunities that God will put in our way. But that's not that we should be nonchalant about it all. Because actually, we are called to be ready, to be those witnesses, and to be able to share those things. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about my daughter, Rebecca. She's really great at sports. From a very young age, she just got it, the hand-eye thing there. Throws ball far better than I could. But that's great. She's got that ability. But unless she practices it, and any sports person here, I'm looking at Ben, various other people, will know that unless you practice it, you're not going to get better. You're not going to fulfill that potential that God has given you. And I think it's the same with sharing our story, that actually we do need to sometimes just step out and have a go. And before we know it, maybe it will feel a bit easier. And maybe we'll find out things about ourselves that we didn't actually realise initially in the first place. So what is it that God's asking us to do? What's he asking you to do this week? I don't know. But I would really encourage you in those moments to just be aware of those promptings and stirrings, because we all have a part to play in all of this. And that's why I come to my third and final point, which is that we need to trust God to have the big picture. And sometimes it's very easy to think, well, I should do this and then I should do this and then I should do this. But actually, is that what God's actually asked us to do? He asked us to do a part of it, just as Joy was talking last week about the story of Naaman and the different roles that people played along the way. For Saul, he also had different people at different times do things for him that brought him into that place of knowledge of God and within God's community. So Ananias was the one that went and prayed for him and he received his sight. But actually, when he went back to Jerusalem, and he probably was pretty scared going back to Jerusalem, it was Barnabas who came and met him. And Barnabas, he had a gift of encouragement. So he probably was a bit more touchy-feely. And he had that gift to be able to say, come on, come and meet the others. Come and let me connect you with them. And we need those people too. We need those encouragers and we need those connectors. Because every single one plays a part in the story. So the one last thing I wanted to say as part of that trusting God to have the big picture is actually, yes, it can be nervous stepping out of our comfort zone sometime, but actually it's exciting, isn't it? Once we get over the initial nerves, it can be really exciting. I mean, can you imagine how Ananias must have felt when he was on his way home that afternoon or evening after he'd met with Saul? Wow, God did this, it was so cool. And maybe not, but and then afterwards he would have heard the stories, he would have heard about Saul, Paul, going off and preaching in the different places, and he got to be a part of that. He got to be a part of that person's journey. He got to be a part of God's story. And sometimes, like that, we might see the significance of what we've done. But sometimes we might not. Sometimes actually we might never know the significance of that one act that we've done or that one thing that we said. But that doesn't mean it's not important. Because in the whole scheme of things, in God's big scheme of things, he's got every little piece of the jigsaw puzzle. And we just need to put our bit in. And whether we see it or whether we don't, we can know that what we do is important because God's asked us to do it. And he hasn't asked us to do it for no reason at all. Never does. There's always a reason. So in summary then, talking about how we share. First of all, it's being obedient. Being obedient to God's calling and overcoming those nerves. And it does get easier. Each time you step into it, it feels easier until you're off and running. The second thing is to be ourselves and actually let God use those things about us that make us unique. And the third is to just trust God to have that big picture. So I just want to close with just a prayer, just to encourage you all as well, to encourage one another along the way. Because I was, as I said, really nervous about doing this today. But along the way, God put people there to encourage me. People prayed for me. I had a lovely hug off Maha earlier. It's a great hug from Maha. Maybe Ananias got a hug on the way out the door. I don't know. But let's encourage one another as well, because it's great, isn't it, to have a team of people around us who are cheering us on to step out of our comfort zones and be those people that God created us to be. So, Father, thank you, Lord, that you knew what you were doing when you made us. Pray that the Holy Spirit would prompt us and guide us, soften our hearts, Lord. Give us that compassion for others, for those you want us to share with, and help us to be obedient. Help us to be obedient to what you're calling us to, so that we can live our lives in a way that reflects the truth of who we are in you, and share our story with others so that they can know too that you are their Heavenly Father and that you love them. Amen.